Hello, WHO. This is Jack Shelley, your war correspondent, reporting again from the American First Army on the German frontier. With this report, I shall complete the list of Midwestern men I met during my visit to a rest area just a few days ago. You'll recall the combat soldiers I talked to were members of one company, a veteran tank destroyer battalion, and that after months of heavy fighting all the way from France to Germany, they're now getting a well-deserved rest far behind the lines. Their combat vehicles had just been parked at various points in the little Belgian village that was to be their rest area when I met these men who had played a vital part in the breaking of the Siegfried Line, the capture of Aachen, and still other operations. They had transferred that day from one rest point to another, and with the captain who commanded the company, I stood by the side of the road and watched the line of ponderous fighting machines come around the edge of a hill and thunder down to the village. A moment before, when the captain and I had arrived ahead of the company, the little town had been one of the most quiet places you could imagine. There wasn't a soul on the one street that seemed to be its only important thoroughfare. No sound could be heard from the small number of houses that clustered about a big church. And from the hillside, you could look out over a peaceful, scenic valley and comment to yourself the village had probably been asleep like this for generations. But then came the roar and the clank of the tank destroyer machines, grinding down the road into the town on their enormous treads. They shook the ground as they passed, but the drivers, whose heads were sticking out from their front compartments, handled them nimbly. They quickly swung out of line, backed them into assigned spaces, and jumped out to look at the place where they were going to spend some time. By then, there were some people to look at, for as soon as the first thunder of the approaching machines was heard, parents and children flocked out of the quiet houses to watch this strange new sight. And as the Yanks pulled tarpaulins over their big armored monsters, the people of the little village first looked at them curiously and then smiled at them in cheerful welcome. I don't know if these villagers had any idea of the part this tank destroyer company played in the liberation of France and Belgium, but if they'll find out, I'm sure they'll feel still more that the boys have a welcome coming. For example, one of the men of the company had just gotten back to the outfit after being in the hospital for 3 months as a result of wounds he suffered at Mayenne during the liberation of France. He is Corporal Leland W. Oldridge of Troy Mills, Iowa, who was wounded last August and who now holds the Purple Heart decoration. Oldridge was completely recovered when I talked to him and seemed glad to be back with his company. There was also a Missouri man standing there among the tank destroyers in the peaceful Belgian village. Corporal Lawrence Weinzel of Jefferson City, Missouri, jokingly told me his specialty was doing almost anything with the outfit. Well, he must have been doing plenty, for he also holds the Purple Heart in token of wounds received at Aachen, Germany. Weinzel called himself a corporal, but he's just won a promotion to sergeant for doing almost anything, as he puts it. Then I met Corporal Henry D. Stamm, who, although he now calls Chicago his home, used to live in Sioux City, Iowa. He has a sister who still lives in the latter city. Stamm said his job is to haul ammunition up to the points where it's needed most when the outfit's in action. A motor sergeant with the company is Lee Suter of LeClaire, Iowa, who was also looking forward to a rest after months of combat. Suter holds the grade of technical sergeant. With him was technician 4th grade Clarence Pokobradsky of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, a city that contributed quite a few men to the makeup of this organization. Pokobradsky is a mechanic who helps to keep the great tank destroyer machines running and fighting when the chips are down. Another kind of job is held by the next Iowan I talked to, Private First Class Otto Vorel of LaPorte City. Vorel is an assistant armorer, which means that he helps with the care and repairing of the guns. Another soldier in the same group was Private Francis M. Pierce of Lakeport, Indiana, a security guard with the company. During the rounds to make sure I was meeting every possible man from the WHO territory, I met Sergeant Jim Lesage of Marshfield, Wisconsin. Lesage told me he's the commander of a tank and that his father lives in Menasha, Wisconsin. And then, just as I was about to leave, a soldier came up and said, "Don't forget me. I'm from Cedar Rapids." He didn't look at all like the kind of fellow you would forget. He was sporting a fine brown mustache and a short but very dashing beard, the only one I saw in the outfit. The young man with the beard was technician 4th grade Ernest J.D. Anderson, a radio technician, who said it's been about a year since he saw his wife back in Cedar Rapids. "Your wife know you got that beard?" I asked him. He laughed and said she knew he'd grown one all right, but he was going to be mighty sure to shave it off before she ever actually saw it. Again, let me assure the relatives and friends of these men whose names I've reported I'll fur and talk with all of them in this Belgian village where they're getting a well-earned rest. They were in good health and fine spirits, and they're anxious to send their greetings and good wishes back to their loved ones at home. For the first time in months, they're not hearing the sound of shell fire. They're well out of range of enemy guns. I've seen the battle-torn areas where they did some of their fighting, and I've seen the peaceful, sleepy little town, bearing none of the marks of war, where they're getting a chance to relax. Believe me, the contrast between the two is almost unbelievable, and a welcome one to men who've seen their full share of action. I don't know, and I wouldn't be able to tell you if I did know, how long this rest will last for them. But I'm proud to have met them, and I sincerely hope that through this broadcast, we of Station WHO will have been able to bring to their loved ones at home some comforting word about a group of combat men who played a major role in the American First Army's drive into Germany. This is Jack Shelley, WHO's war correspondent, signing off now from the German frontier and returning you to Des Moines. Okay, NBC, that does it for me tonight. One recording, will you please air express it to the newsroom, radio station WHO, Des Moines, Iowa. And I would appreciate a reception report as soon as possible. Thanks a lot. Good night.